arrested and put in a labor camp in China, his own country, simply for practicing his religion.
More than anything in the world, we want to get Ming back to Dublin, back to his associates, his friends, and back to his studies.
There was no way that we were going to sit back and allow Ming to be forgotten and slip through the cracks. He's a human being, he's a valued part of our community in Trinity, and we want him back.
The story of a Chinese overseas student studying in Trinity has captured the attention of the people in Ireland, Europe, and even the world. Situated in Dublin, the capital of Ireland, is the prestigious University of Dublin, Trinity College. With a history of more than 400 years, it is a privileged school that has produced some of the great talents in European history. On March 23, 2002, the bell echoes in the campus, welcoming back the young student who has been forcibly kept away from here for the past 2.5 years.
So good to see you.
How are you? You're welcome back.
They've been working so hard they didn't even know who you were. You know? He's been imprisoned in a labor camp in China since May 2000, and he was just recently released on March the 12th from Tuanhe labor camp near Beijing. And we're here today to welcome back to Trinity and to his new life, Jimmy.
Well, you were here before. You made a lot of friends. I've met a lot of people whom you knew before, and I heard a lot of very good things about you. So you're definitely part of this community.
You're on the front page of one paper. Another demonstration, another one as well. So and you've cool. also made a T-shirt as well.
It's faded a bit.
I mean, again, I'm just on behalf of everyone I've met over the last number of years, people who have been to college, who've left, who are over in America, everywhere. You know, this is just a day people have been hoping for 2.5 years, and, you know, we're glad you're back, and it's great to see you.
I really felt very much moved. What we've been doing are out of my imagination. I am not an Irishman, I am a Chinese person. I'm only studying here, and you are doing so much.
It's very difficult for us to understand what he's endured and the beliefs he's stood up for and the torture he's endured and so on in China. And it takes a very courageous person to come through that and be in such well mental health only 10 days after his release. So it gives you an idea of the strength of character he has. And we're delighted to have him back.
In early 1999, Jiaming came to Trinity College in Ireland to study in the Department of Computer Science as a graduate student. The free academic atmosphere, elegant environment, and the friendly teachers and students brought him much happiness.
He was working in the same department as me, and we met at lunch and talked about, you know, our interests, and we discovered we had a shared interest in meditation, and that's really how I got to become friends with him. And, you know, he was open to having great discussions about what he thought Falun Gong was about and how it had benefited him and how it had made a great impact on his life.
In 1994, Jiaming started practicing Falun Gong for self-improvement after graduating from Tsinghua University. Following the principles of truthfulness, compassion, and forbearance, he filled his heart with peace and tranquility. He was fascinated and grateful for having found this practice, as it answered questions that he had been searching for his whole life.
The change is dramatic. I know that it contains the principles of the universe. Following these principles is the most important thing I should do in my life.
In July 1999, Falun Gong, the most popular and widespread spiritual practice in China, overnight became the target of suppression and a vicious persecution by the Chinese government. Every resource of the state, including the media, the military force, police, and special agents, were turned against its own innocent and kind-hearted citizens. Around Christmas 1999, Zhao Ming went back to Beijing, hoping to tell the government the truth of Falun Gong, using his own personal experience as testimony to the goodness of the practice. He never suspected that this action would lead him to serious torture and detention in Chinese labor camps.
Well, we were very shocked because anyone knowing him would also know that there would be no objective reason to detain him.
We used to eat lunch together, and then suddenly one day after Christmas I realized that he wasn't anymore in the lab, and I thought that was a pretty terrifying experience when we found out that he was in under house arrest in China.
The labor camp management at the dispatching center were extremely inhumane and very strict. As soon as you entered, they stripped you of your clothes and shocked you with electric batons. You're not allowed to raise your head. You're not allowed to look at the police. You have to bend your head down all the time, except while sleeping.
In protest of this treatment, Zhao Ming started a hunger strike, refusing to take any food or water.
The second day after I had the hunger strike, they began to force feed me by inserting a plastic tube through my nose into my stomach. They organized many policemen. Over 10 of them stood in a circle. The head of the clinic inserted the tube into my nose. He inserted the tube in and then pulled it out, many times until my nose was bleeding heavily. Later, he became extremely furious and said, "You make me mad." Then he deliberately inserted the tube into my windpipe. It was hard for me to breathe. "I will choke you to death," he said furiously. "You make me mad." He only got the tube partly in. It never reached my stomach. Then he started to pour in some liquid that he had prepared. Actually, he was not force-feeding, because he wasn't really feeding in food. It was a kind of chemical that disturbs the stomach badly. It was pure torture.
Zhao Ming continued on his hunger strike for 10 days. Shortly after that, again, he went on a hunger strike without any food or water for an additional 18 days.
He obviously was a very courageous person who was willing to go back to China, willing to put his future life on hold to speak out against the persecution of Falun Gong in China. You know, has shown the bravery to stand up for what he believes in, which many people would find difficult. But he's the one who's standing up for all those Falun Gong practitioners who can't practice Falun Gong in China at the moment.
On January 25th, 2000. The Irish Times reported the first public news about Zhao Ming's detention because of his appeal for Falun Gong. This attracted great attention from the Irish people.
Where Trinity College students generated 2,000 letters that were then sent to the Chinese premier, the Chinese ambassador, the head of the labor camp, and the Irish Minister for Foreign Affairs.
We believe the torture is wrong in all cases. It is completely against the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, which prohibits torture. It's against the United Nations Convention against Torture.
In order to make Falun Gong practitioners give up their faith, the Chinese authorities, under the ruling of Chen Zemin, adopted all unimaginable extreme methods to torture and destroy people mentally and physically. But the most widely used method in the persecution is the mental and spiritual rape through brainwashing.
For a period of time, about 2 months, we were forced to read and listen to propaganda against Falun Gong. This was how they would try to brainwash us. The sound was extremely loud and would start from early morning after breakfast until we go to bed at 12, 15 to 16 hours per day.
Another method of forced brainwashing is sleep deprivation for long periods.
It was very usual that we go to bed at 3 or 4 in the morning. There was a period of 2 weeks where they coughed me to a chair. Whenever I doze off, they would have people jab me. Didn't allow me to close my eyes for a second.
The guards intended to push practitioners to the brink of insanity in their attempt to break their will and reprogram their minds so that they would give up their faith in Falun Gong.
In this world, there has to be principles. Righteous principles. There has to be a standard for being a human and a moral standard for the society. Yet all this was turned upside down during the persecution. So it is not just the oppression of Falun Gong and the practice. Rather, they are ruining people and destroying the fundamental kindness of human nature. Some people, after being forced to transform, became insane, crying and laughing uncontrollably. I understand why they were like that. They could not resolve the conflict within themselves. They knew clearly how righteous Falun Gong is, yet they were forced to renounce this fundamental belief.
The police would also incite the inmates to torture Zhao Ming.
First, they forced me to do military squatting. I had just arrived and had been on hunger strike for many days. My body was very weak and could not hold the squatting position. So they bent my head to my feet and pushed me under the bed. The bed was quite low, so the boards were propped up. They sat on the bed and pressed it down. They thought this wasn't enough, so they pulled me out and started to beat me. There were more than 10 people using their fists and knees to hit me. As a result, my thighs were all black. I couldn't walk for 2 weeks. Later on, they told me that they did not want to do that, but it was the police who told them to do it.
It's very easy to say, well, you know, he shouldn't have spoken out against Falun Gong. He shouldn't have gone back. Why was he doing that? It's his own fault. But if we don't stand behind the people who stand up and are courageous, then there's no real hope for making progress in China. I mean, he was a friend, so I felt a huge responsibility on me to try and do something about
it. We were also featuring Ming in our campaign to send greeting cards to prisoners of conscience in various parts of the world. We chose 6 cases every year, and Ming is one of those cases this year, and we're getting a great response to Ming.
Well, for the last 2 years, almost all my spare time after work, we're working on Ming's, you know, try to help Ming's relief.
And then shortly after that, we came to our attention that there was a number of other people, like Jim was doing some work, Amnesty were doing some work, the GHU started doing some work, I was doing some work, all about Zhao Ming. So we came up with the idea, instead of 5 or 6 groups working kind of at different angles, we should all get together, so we formed the Friends of Zhao Ming.
During a period of 2 years, Friends of Zhao Ming and Irish people who sympathized for Zhao Ming had been working very hard to appeal for his release. From Ireland to other countries in Europe and around the world, more and more people and governments became aware of the situation of Ming and the persecution of Falun Gong practitioners in China.
How a government can be threatened by truthfulness, compassion, and tolerance?
I call on the Irish government to step up its pressure on the Chinese regime with regard to this matter.
We, as Irish people, we have to do this things because we are human beings.
I think the case of Zhao Ming in particular highlighted the problem that exists for people who practice Falun Gong. And the fact that he had been a student here, was living in Dublin, made it very real for many people, forced the Irish government to take it up in a very specific way when the Chinese Premier was here in Ireland some time ago.
We had a big demonstration outside Dublin Castle when he came. a number of politicians refused to meet him because of the treatment of Zhao Ming. The provost of Trinity College handed him a letter personally saying that he was concerned about Zhao Ming's plight.
Chinese Premier Zhu Yongji was taken in a back entrance to Dublin Castle this evening after hundreds of noisy protesters gathered at the front gate.
This is not a protest against China, so it's against the Chinese government and the Chinese state, which imprisons its own people and tortures its own people, including a student from Trinity College.
But while the main focus was on business matters, the Taoiseach told a joint press conference that he had a frank but friendly discussion with his Chinese counterpart on the whole area of human rights.
Today, we discussed the issues of Zhao Ming, the Trinity student. We discussed the issue of Falun Gong. We have exchanged our views on those, and I want to thank the Premier for listening to my frank position on behalf of the Irish people.
Critics of China say this is the face of human rights abuses in the country. Former Trinity College classmates of Zhao Ming today handed out pamphlets to protest at his detention at a labour camp in Beijing.
And I think that was our most successful moment in terms of making the Irish people aware of Ming's case.
January 24th, 2001. After campaigning for over 2.5 long years, the first glimmer of hope was in sight. While visiting Beijing, Irish Foreign Minister Brian Cowan once again asked the Chinese Foreign Minister for Zhao Ming's release. This time he got an answer. Ming would be released on March 12th. What the kind-hearted people of Ireland could not imagine was that while the Chinese government had made a promise to release Zhao Ming and not to mistreat him, they secretly used all sorts of methods to try to destroy him before setting him free. For more than 2 months, Zhao Ming was kept in an isolated, empty building, far away from anyone. No one would ever know what happened in there. Zhao Ming was pressured even more intensely than before. The police kept him awake by beating him and kicking him constantly and pouring cold water on him in the cold, wintry climate. 2 weeks before his release, and without sleeping for 2 days, he was taken into another room. He knew clearly what was going to happen to him.
5 policemen laid a bed board on the floor. Using bandages, they strapped my limbs, body and head tightly on the board. Then the 5 policemen used 6 electric batons to shock me all over the body.
He bit hard on the bandage strapped across his mouth, while his whole body shook uncontrollably. After 22 months in a hell on earth, the memory of this nightmare is impossible to erase. The wound to his spirit will never be fully healed. Yet Zhao Ming is fortunate.
He is a special case in the sense that he was a student in a foreign country, he had friends who campaigned on his behalf, he had a government intervene on his behalf, so he was very lucky.
With the help of the kind-hearted Irish people, Zhao Ming was once again breathing the air of freedom.
Even though Ireland is a very small country and Zhao Ming is only a dot in the ocean, it was successful.
And to see that, in a sense, people really can make a difference and really can influence the people who are in power to do the right thing is really an incredible feeling.
I am only one of the tens of millions of practitioners being persecuted in China. Many have experienced even more severe physical and mental torture than I did. I hope to call for the attention of more kind-hearted people through my ordeal, to let them know the evil persecution in China against people's conscience and face of truth, compassion, and forbearance, so that more people can help.